Now more than 300,000 people in the United States with temporary protected status are in legal limbo as the program comes to an end in the midst of a challenge in the court system. The program has allowed people, sometimes for decades, to live in the United States because their home countries are too dangerous to stay in. The countries directly involved are El Salvador, Haiti, Honduras, Nicaragua, Nepal, and Sudan. Our next guest is here to talk about the Temporary Protected Status Program and other issues surrounding immigration in the Trump administration. Alan Gomez is a Miami-based immigration reporter at USA Today. Alan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, tell us about the TPS, the Temporary Protected Status Program. What is it? How does it work?
It was created in 1990 by Congress, and what it does is it allows people whose home countries have been devastated by natural disasters or some sort of armed conflict to remain in the U.S. for a temporary amount of time while their countries recover. So picture earthquakes, hurricanes, civil wars, things like that. But what ended up happening is that administration after administration, both Republican and Democrat, started extending the program for very long periods of time. It's only supposed to be about 12 to 18 months, but administrations are allowed to extend it. So in the case of El Salvador, the largest group, which has about 195,000 people in a TPS program, they were first granted TPS in 1991 based on an earthquake. But multiple administrations allowed Salvadorans to continue staying in the U.S. under TPS because of the different deteriorating conditions in El Salvador, most notably the raging crime that's raging down there. And what the Trump administration did when they came in is said, well, look, the original conditions of TPS for El Salvador, that earthquake, those conditions have subsided. And so all 195,000 should have to go back. And that's what forms the basis for the legal fight that we're seeing now.
And some of these TPS statuses, as you mentioned, have been in place for upwards of 20 years. Is there a case to be made that this wasn't originally what Congress intended when they passed this?
Absolutely. I mean, there's people who support the president have been repeating a refrain quite often saying T is for temporary. It's in the title. It's right there. And that was definitely the original intent of this program. But the other argument is that, yes, it's been sort of extended for too long. It's been abused for a little bit too long. But at this point, how do you tell a family who's been here for 20 years, who's been working, who's raised a family? Reminder, these are people that have to be re-vetted every 18 months or so. So we know they have clean criminal records. We know that they're working. And so the argument is, okay, look, change the program moving forward. But how can you tell these people who've been here for decades to go back to these countries, especially when you consider that there's about 300,000 who are in the program. They've had about 270,000 children while they've been in the U.S., all U.S. citizens. So that decision that they're facing now is, do we stay in the country and risk becoming an undocumented immigrant? Do we go home as the parents and leave our children behind in the U.S., or do we go back to our home country and then take our child back to a country that they've never known? They may not even speak the language, and is possibly a pretty serious security risk in the case of most of these countries.
As part of your reporting, you talked to a family here from Haiti. What did you learn?
I mean, it was just really interesting talking to a lot of these families who are going through this because, you know, when you talk to them, it's just you see the basic American experience. This is the man's name is Ronnie Pontil. He's a registered nurse at an emergency hospital down here in Miami, and his daughter is 11 years old, born here. She speaks three languages and is quite an accomplished piano player, and she is just beside herself, just you know, very articulate, a young lady, and trying to explain the situation that they're in. And she says, she talks about having to go back to Haiti, where she's never been. She doesn't speak Creole. She has no idea what she would do there. Or does she stay here when her parents go back, and then she's forced to either live with another family, or she put it, be thrown into the system and have a foster family or something like that, and the worries that that brings with it. So, yeah, it's just really interesting to see it firsthand and understand, to hear the debates that they're having. And I can tell you that this one family is an embodiment of what's going on in thousands of households around the country, as they remain in this legal limbo, and they face that very real prospect of having to be ordered back home, possibly soon, depending on how quickly the legal cases are resolved.
Talking to Alan Gomez, immigration reporter at USA Today, about immigration issues, including the temporary protected status program, maybe coming to an end for many people protected under that program. Alan, you mentioned legal limbo. A lot of what the Trump administration has changed on immigration has gone to the courts. Where does this temporary protected status program stand in terms of legal challenges and actually being implemented?
Yeah, so this is just one of the many attempts by the Trump administration to limit both legal and illegal immigration that has, let's say, run into some hiccups in the courts. A federal judge just a couple of weeks ago out in California ruled that the administration used a flawed legal reasoning and a flawed process to end the program. And in that ruling, Judge Edward Chen made clear that he felt, and there was enough evidence to show, that the administration may have used, quote, an animus against non-white, non-European immigrants to reach its conclusion and to reach its decision to end this program. So he stopped it. So basically, right now, TPS remains active. These people can stay here. They can stay here legally to live and to work. And now we start the process. Now it goes to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and then it could go from there to the Supreme Court. And it's important to note on that, since the judge made reference to Trump's previous comments when it comes to, you know, the president used a very choice word when talking about Haiti at one point, and he's made many comments about immigrants coming from Central America. The judge based his ruling in part on those arguments, but it's important to note that the Supreme Court has ruled on something similar. If you remember the travel ban from last year, the courts stopped the administration from implementing that travel ban based on his racial animus or perceived at the time. But the Supreme Court, just this past June, finally gave approval to the travel ban and disregarded those comments. That was a 5-4 majority when Justice Kennedy was still on the court. But every indication is that Justice Kavanaugh would kind of lean in that same direction. So the administration may end up being vindicated here when it reaches the Supreme Court. It's just a question of how quickly it gets there and how Kavanaugh will rule on that one.
One question with this temporary protected status is, okay, even if the initial disaster, say earthquake, that is in the past and been recovered from, is this a safe place to go back? And you did a survey kind of the six countries in question here. Talk about the conditions in those countries and what people would be going back to.
Yeah, and that's one of the central things about this debate right here. Do you base your decision to extend a country's TPS status on that original reason that it was granted TPS? So let's use Haiti again for an example. The reason they were placed or granted TPS status was that 2010 earthquake that just decimated Haiti. The administration has previous administrations have ruled that, hey, maybe the effects of that earthquake, they're past that, but ever since, Haiti has been hit with a massive cholera outbreak. It's been hit by two hurricanes and continues just experiencing tragedy after tragedy. So the Obama administration, because of all that, said, look, things are still terrible right now. This country is not prepared to absorb 46,000 Haitians that are living in the United States under TPS status. What the Trump administration is saying is, hey, they're past that earthquake. We're sorry, but it's time for you to go back. This was a temporary program. And we found similar situations in all of the countries. Nepal, for example, just had its earthquake 3 years ago, and reconstruction there is, by the best estimates by the Nepalese government, is at about 40 to 50% back online from that earthquake. Yet the Trump administration said, no, it's good enough. We can send them back. El Salvador, Honduras, these are places that rank in the top 10 of murder rates around the world right now. So while the violence there was not what got them their TPS designation to begin with, again, previous administrations had argued, okay, well, sending tens, and in the case of El Salvador, 200,000 people back there is not the wisest thing to do and would be putting these people in harm's way. So each of these countries still face major challenges, and the question is whether they can absorb these massive numbers of people going back to their countries.
We're talking to Alan Gomez, immigration reporter at USA Today. We're talking about the Temporary Protected Status Program, which would end under Trump administration plans for around 300,000 people from six different countries, and about the Trump administration policies on immigration in general. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the Temporary Protected Status Program? What do you think about the idea of ending these protections for people from these six different countries? How would you characterize overall the Trump administration approach to immigration and refugees as well? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about the likely end of the Temporary Protected Status Program for people from six countries around the world and other issues facing immigration in the United States. Alan Gomez is with us, immigration reporter for USA Today. He's based in Miami. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about this program, how it works, who it has applied to? What are your thoughts on immigration policy under the Trump administration? Do you have questions about some of the latest news? There's a lot going on, some of it crowded out of the news by other stories. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Andy is on the line in Libertyville, Illinois. Andy, hello.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Andy?
So I just had a question. I'm trying to understand why, you know, what the rationale from the conservative or the GOP is on why they would not take, these people and keep them in the United States as they've been productive members of society. What if you kind of cut through all the, politics of it? What is the real reason why the GOP doesn't want them here? I don't understand that. I'm hoping your guest speaker can speak to that.
Andy, thanks for the call. And Alan, this has been a debate within the Republican Party as well. Can you sort some of that out?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to really get in their minds and hearts when they do something like this. But what we've seen from this administration is a top-to-bottom, across-the-board effort to limit, again, both legal and illegal immigration in every way that they can. The president campaigned very strenuously on the question of illegal immigration, but what we've seen in practice is their attempts to do everything that they can to limit legal immigration. So we saw in his first full year a drop in the number of green cards issued by the administration, a drop in the number of visas issued for people to come for short-term stays, a historic drop in the number of refugees accepted by the U.S., attempts to limit the asylum application process for people coming here fleeing violence in different places. And so this would easily fall into that category where it's clear that they've done a complete look at our immigration system and tried to identify ways to limit legal immigration. And this, in some sense, was an easy one because it was a temporary program. That's how it was designed. And so every time they've announced that they're ending TPS for each country, they very rightfully say this was a temporary program. The conditions were met. We're following the letter of the law. Simple as that. But when you put it in that broader context of everything else they're doing, it does fit into that broader idea of just using any means possible to limit legal immigration into the U.S.
Andy, thanks for that call. Alan, there's been a stream of thought in the Republican Party, kind of a chamber of commerce mindset, I guess, that's been more okay with immigration in part to provide workers to companies around the country. Is this still an active debate within the Republican Party?
Well, that depends on how you define the Republican Party of today. You know, as we see, you know, Trump, if we talk about Trump's version of the Republican Party, that's it's a very clear-cut, you know, sort of nationalistic, you know, close the borders, let's try to keep everyone out as much as we can. But for decades, there has been that broader argument from conservatives, from the Chamber of Commerce, from business owners, who argue that we just don't have a functioning immigration system that gets enough qualified and enough good workers into the U.S. So, you know, I think the number that came out in the last couple of days was this idea that there's 7 million job openings in the United States. That's more than the number of unemployed Americans in the United States. So that would seem to be a pretty clear indication that we need more workers. But the legal, the work visas that we offer right now are incredibly limited, both on the high-tech end and all the way down to the agricultural sector. So there, business owners routinely complain about the fact that they cannot find enough workers to fill their ranks. So yeah, that's the traditional side of the Republican Party.
Talking to Alan Gomez from USA Today about immigration policy under the Trump administration. Alan, I want to turn to a couple different issues that you've been tracking. First, family separation, unattended minors. This was huge news for a while. It's back out of the mainstream media eye, it seems like. But what is going on now?
Well, as luck would have it, they just finished up a court hearing in San Diego to get an update on that. And so I can tell you that there has been... there's about 2,600 families that were separated over the summer. This was through the president's zero tolerance policy. We're up to about 2,300 of those kids who have been either reunited with their parents or have been placed with other approved sponsors. There's still about 245 of these kids, though, who are still in government custody. And so there's quite a bit of back and forth with the lawyers from the ACLU and the Department of Justice over the best way and the quickest way to finalize those remaining cases. But yeah, here we are 4 months after a judge ordered all those families to be removed, and we still have 245 kids who are in government custody. So obviously that process is moving along not as quickly as most people had hoped for. And then separately, we heard from the President Trump himself this weekend that the administration is considering a new strategy to separate families in another way. Just to try to sum this up as quickly as I can for your listeners, the zero tolerance policy over the summer created an immediate separation of families where the parents were charged criminally for crossing the border and they were sent to adult immigration detention. The kids were sent over to the Department of Health and Human Services for to be housed over there. What the administration is contemplating now is giving immigrants an option. So if they come over as a family unit, what they would do is say, okay, you can either stay together indefinitely for months, possibly years, as your asylum applications or your deportation hearings proceed, or you can allow your child to be placed with Health and Human Services. We can put them with a sponsor, and you stay in detention as the parent to try to fight your own case. So this would be sort of a giving them, you know, giving immigrants the option of being separated from their child. And so, yeah, this is clearly something that's ongoing. The administration feels very strongly that as long as families can come here together and will eventually be released from custody, that will continue being a lure for these families to come over here. Obviously, immigration advocates say that any separation of families and any future plans to continue doing so is a violation of human rights, international law, and all sorts of U.S. law and court hearings, rulings.
Another story, the president pointing toward a group of people coming from Honduras, I think it is, hundreds of people. They're in Guatemala now. He's referring to it as a caravan, threatening to cut off aid to Honduras if they can't stop this particular group or stop groups seeking to come up and cross the U.S. border. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, I mean, this is basically just a repeat in case, you know, your readers, your viewers, your listeners remember this at all from last year. The same thing happened last year. It's an annual thing where basically many immigrants who are trying to reach the U.S. border, they band together not to stream across in a horde, but they do that for security reasons. Crossing Central America and crossing Mexico by yourself or in a small group can be an incredibly dangerous process. And so they do this as an attempt to get there safely and get there together. And it's important to know, and this is something that's often lost when you hear the president talk about this, is that the majority of them are coming over here and announcing that they're trying to seek asylum. And U.S. law allows for people to present themselves at a port of entry and request asylum. That is something that they are legally allowed to do. The president paints it as they're trying to cross the border illegally, but it wouldn't make a lot of sense for a group to come over in such a large group, be posting on Facebook, announcing where they are, if their intent was to sneak across the border and enter illegally. So they're on their way. The president has threatened to cut off any sort of foreign aid that's going to Honduras if they can't stop this. It's out of the Honduran hands already. They're now in Guatemala. The next step would be Mexico. So it's a long way, and a lot of them will probably drop off along the way, but that's where we are right now.
And briefly, Alan, Congress could sort a lot of these issues out. I'm going to guess we're not going to see anything, at least between now and the new Congress coming in January.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw something where Senator Cornyn, number two Republican in the Senate, there's talk that he's going to meet with some immigration groups just a couple of days after the November election to talk about things like deferred action for childhood arrivals. That's another 800,000 or so immigrants who may lose their legal status, and to talk about some of those other things. But I can tell you, I don't think it really matters whether Democrats take over either House of Congress in November. The track record on immigration in Congress has been abysmal. For years, they've been unable to agree on even the most minor changes or updates to our immigration laws. So looking for any resolution or looking for any solution out of Washington, out of Congress specifically, is a really difficult thing to do right now.
We'll leave it there for now. Thanks to Alan Gomez from USA Today. Join us for a look at a number of immigration issues going on in the United States.